everybody, and welcome to this week's NPL show. Coming up over the course of the next hour or so, we're going to be catching up with some happy managers who've had some good results following the busy bank holiday period. We're going to be hearing from Chris Hardy, the manager of Whitby Town. We've got David McGurk from Hyde United. We've got Paul Carden joining us too from Warrington Town. And we've got one half of the management duo at Grantham Town. We're going to be joined by Russell Cousins later in the show. And we've got a fixture preview right towards the end of the show where we're going to be joined by the welcome return of non-league journalist from Yorkshire, Mr. Thomas Feeney. But before that, it's to the results from Saturday afternoon. And to help us walk through all the results from Saturday in the NPL Premier Division, I travelled up to Stainton Park, the home of Radcliffe FC, for Monday's clash against FC United. Hello everybody and welcome. It's pre-recorded live on a Monday afternoon.
On a Monday afternoon, and
you join us here at Stainton Park, the home of Radcliffe FC, and this afternoon the home of FC United's trip to Radcliffe FC in the NPL. And joining me here for a little wrap-up of Saturday's action in the league, we're joined by Mr. Swamper from FC Radio.
Mr. Swamper now, that's interesting.
And Mr. Teagot from Radcliffe FC, the social media officer for the league. So, a reduced schedule of matches on Saturday, but still some intriguing results. Where do you want to start? Go on then, Swamper, we'll start with you, shall we?
I think you're going to start
FC
with...
FC United, Manchester,
have to.
Nil, Scarborough Athletic, 1. Three straight defeats now for FC United. The third season on the trot where FC United have lost the first three games.
Indeed, yes.
Good fact.
It's a good fact, Ben. You've done your research. I was thinking long and hard after the game and into the evening. FC's first three games of the season, and I thought the first game of the season we should have got something out of that, and we should have won that game, and we certainly should have got something out of the Hyde game, no doubt. I think everyone would be that see the highlights, and if you speak to the guys at 26-0, they would suggest as well that FC were very unlucky not to win that game. So we would have been on 6 points, and you know, we had enough chances, even though there were few and far between on Saturday against Scarborough, to get a point. So we could have been rather on 0 points, actually on 7 points, but that's the way football is. On the back of a 5-1 drubbing by Stalybridge Celtic, Scarborough looked a completely different team. They were quality all over the pitch. They kept the shape well, they worked hard, their distribution was excellent, they forced FC into errors, and John did a job. He knew exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to get a reaction out of his players, and he got exactly that. And I think you've got to say well done to them. I think we weren't unfortunate.
Have FC United got a goal scoring problem this season? Because I think there was some. No. I mean, there was a guy.
40, Ben,
obviously,
Ben, 40.
Obviously, this stat is based upon some random guy we spoke in the car park on the way into Broaders Park, but I still think it sounds good, and therefore it's probably true. FC United's had the most possession, most shots on goal than any team in non-league football this season.
Well, they have, yeah, but you know,
and they've also conceded three penalties in their first three games as well, which is another.
And a manager that was the first booking for a manager for we don't know what, and he still doesn't know what. No, FC obviously, if you have 40 attempts in two games and you score one goal, there's a problem. Obviously, FC United have lost, you know, the top league goal scorer last season, Golden Boot winner, which is a massive blow, and also then you lose your other centre forward, and you have to rely on other players, and it's just not going for them at the moment. It's simple as that. And there's three games in. I mean, the performance was quite poor. Today's a great test. There's lots of players here from Radcliffe that we know very well, ex-FC, so they'll want to show what they're made of still. And the new players will say, look, we're the new breed, and look what we can do.
I was going to say, I wouldn't say crisis just yet, but speaking of clubs in crisis, Radcliffe played one, lost one, James. Well, I know you didn't play in the league on Saturday, but you did draw 0-0 with Runcorn Town in the FA Cup.
Again, I think the fact with Bambridge getting called off, we've not had a lot of game time at the moment, but similar situation to FC, really. I think going forward, FC do look the part. It's just...
Look the part, though? We're not talking about FC anymore.
That's what I mean at the same time with Radcliffe. Defensively, again, not a problem. It's just going forward. But again, the signing, just signed someone from Bury recently. If he can get embedded in, because apparently he was one of the top talents in League 2 Cup last year. So, speaking about the game now, it's going to be a really interesting one to see, because it's a good defence against a good attack. Normally, you say it'll be a 0-0, but both sides need a point now before anything else.
Runcorn picked up a draw on Saturday in the FA Cup, as did Morpeth. A great result for Brighouse Town, a 2-2 draw. So obviously Morpeth not in league action on Saturday afternoon. But Matlock Town, the current league leaders, another 1-0, the third 1-0 of the season thus far for Matlock Town, this time away at Stafford Rangers. He's doing something there, isn't he, Steve Kittrick? He's obviously created a side who are like
very hard to beat.
Early 90s Arsenal.
Well, they're very hard to beat. They've, I said to you, didn't my prediction was that if he gets it right there, he's got a point to prove this season. You know, he's his old team Scarborough came to FC with a new manager and you know, a new band of players, and he's gone to Matlock and he's using experience and he's got a point to prove, and he started off tremendously well. Long way to go, but as I say, I think if he can get it right there, they will be a force all through the season, and don't be surprised if they're not in the top five.
And we should say as well, I mean, Jonathan Stewart, the goalkeeper, pulled off a last minute penalty save in that game as well for Matlock. So.
Yeah, well, also as well with Pit Old Cruise against the Beesford game, so they're not exactly winning games ugly as people are expecting. They're actually going out and playing interesting football. It's just, but they're getting the results now that count.
Well, Beesford are currently sitting in second, recovered quite well from their defeat last week against Matlock on the Monday. A great win, this. 4-1 win over Lancaster City, and Steve Chettle looks like he's got a good team there, looks like.
He has, yeah, and you know, they've got impetus, haven't they? You know, they've been promoted, and they're a team that have ideas of you know, going as far as they can. You know, there's no holes barred. You know, they've put a little bit of money into the club, and they've got good players in there. They've got a decent manager, you know, with pedigree, and it's how far they can go, really. You know, they've got a project, haven't they? And I think they'd love to be a conference team or national league team. You know, a small village club in a similar way to the likes of North Ferriby United a number of seasons ago. You know, you get a village club into the National League, it's good for the community, and it's good for the club.
Following the action on Saturday, Matlock and Beesford leapfrogged over Morpeth Town, who obviously weren't in action. They also leapfrogged over South Shields. Hyde United, back-to-back wins, and in this case, a 1-0 win at South Shields.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's be honest. They rode the luck against FC, but it was a massive result for them. You could see the supporters, how they felt the first encounter between FC United and Manchester and Hyde United in league matters, and what they've got is they have got a lot of pace up top, and I mean, they have got some really pacey players, and you know, they were playing on a pitch which was conducive to football. Hyde like to play football as well, and they can use that counter attack, and they did it to great use against FC, and they also did it against South Shields. And I mean, Berkey's having to reassess everything already, because you know, he's predicted his team aren't going to do too well, but they've had two great results. But again, it just shows us that you can get battered in a game of football and come away winning, and then you can go away from home and win and get battered and win on the counter.
Yeah, same with having a player like Liam Tong, who's looking like a great little utility player this year. Obviously, the clearance off the line against FC.
The two
at the same time. But then, obviously, up front, showing he's got that paralytic things, and he's starting to get into that stride. I've got a feeling he's going to be one of them players this year you need to watch out for. He's been unknown a little bit in the past from like Staley Bridge and a couple of other sides.
Well, he was superb. He was superb against FC. And he reads a game well. And he's got a little bit of experience. And he's very, very... He's a decent player. And Hyde have got some decent players. They are suffering a little bit. You know, they would say themselves they'd like maybe two or three more players in. But equally, you know, they've had two magnificent results away from home, you know. And most people would have suggested perhaps before the season starts looking at them, well, you'd pretty bank on a South Shields win, and you'd also maybe think of an FC win, but they've done really well, and new manager, you know, different players, well, some from last season, but a whole host of new players as well. Fair play to them.
Has anyone said it's early days yet?
Not
mentioned it is early days, but Hyde United up to sixth in the league table after three games. Up to eighth is Gainsborough Trinity, a 0-0 draw with Warrington. Not much to say about this that game.
Well, let's carry on then.
Yeah, what? Win, lose and draw at the moment.
I mean, apparently, according to match reports, it was surprising that it finished 0-0.
Fair
both teams were going for it. But it was 0-0. And Warrington Town in 10th after Saturday's matches. Won one, drawn one and lost one.
Yeah.
Now. Well, so it's early days. There we go. Cliche klaxon. And last game we need to talk about from Saturday. This wasn't 0-0, was it? Buxton 3, Whitby Town 4.
Great result. And again,
Whitby Town there.
Yeah, the Whitby Town radio boys were really interested in this one. Especially, you can see the emotion in both sides at the same time. Apparently, Whitby had to fight for it. But Daniel Rowe, Matt Simon again, another player starting to come into his little routine this season. Three goals from three.
It's a great result. I mean, it's interesting to note, you know, the Warrington, a team with a little bit of cash, Buxton themselves, Ashton, three teams that have all been fancied for this season. FC United as well, but equally slightly different with no cash. But all the sort of like the big hitters aren't performing yet. They haven't really set the world
on fire. You mentioned Ashton then. I forgot about the Ashton result. So thank you for the nudge.
That's right.
Yeah. This is finally. Bamber Bridge 3, Ashton United 2. A 90th minute screamer from Chris Marlowe.
He was
there.
A screamer as well.
I mean, that's a great result that for Bamber. But we're seeing it, aren't we, Swamper? Step two sides joining the division, struggling.
Yeah, I know we can use all the data.
Come on, let's
and all
do
the
it.
Information.
Let's do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, the stats would suggest that anyone that gets relegated from the National League North struggles in this division, with the exception of Altrincham.
But well, even then, Altrincham struggled to start with.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Remember that Whitby game?
But they didn't. The end result was, you know, was promotion again. Yeah, they are struggling. I mean, Warrington especially. I mean, you know, they were playoff champions last season, and because of the way the league sorted itself out, you know, you got Kings Lynn now in the National League North instead of them, and they're second in the National League North already. Yeah. But Ashton, I know we're talking about Ashton, but we're just basically talking about those teams that, you know, done well last season are struggling this season. Ashton are struggling, FC are struggling. So yeah, I mean, I don't think the Hoodoo will continue this season. I can't see either Ashton or FC United being relegated this season, but I mean, it can happen. We know what happened to Hyde, you know, Conference for a number of years, and then
Colwyn Bay,
down.
You know, especially Colwyn Bay, they struggled in Charleston, the Welsh League.
Stafford Rangers,
they've all done it. Yeah, we know the stats.
Workington eventually.
Eventually.
Well, again, the way they've started this season, you can't really say
they'll
that.
Be back. but that's all the results from Saturday. Just to mention, for the FA Cup, congratulations to our sides who made it through to the next round. Grantham Town had a particularly banana skin away at Barton Town and safely got through to the next round. I'm just seeing if there was any upsets.
There was quite a few replays.
There's a lot of replays.
I said the other day, yes, it was a bit of an FA Cup massacre for us, really, as a league.
Yeah, there's a lot of replays, isn't there? But thank you to Swamper.
You're welcome,
Thank
Ben.
You to James.
No worries.
And hopefully football will be the winner this afternoon.
Good. Bloody cliche. What's that? What do you have in store if it's not?
And a big thank you to Radcliffe FC for their hospitality, and a big thank you to James and Swampy for joining us here on this week's NPL show. So let's go to Bank Holiday Monday's results. Firstly, that match there at Stadium Park, Radcliffe 1, FC United and Manchester 1. It does see FC United out of the relegation zone with their first point of the season. Radcliffe also on 1 point, but they played two games less than FC. Up towards the top end, and the great start continues for Matlock Town. They defeated Gainsborough Trinity on Monday by 2-1, while Nantwich also continued their unbeaten start to the season, Nantwich beating Witton Albion by 3-0. And Hyde United continued their good run of form. They're up to third now in the league. They beat Buxton on Monday by 3-1. And on Friday, I caught up with the manager at Hyde United. Here's David McGurk.
Yeah, we are delighted. I mean, we looked at the fixtures that come out originally, and we knew we had a tough start. I think the more you look at the league this season, you realise it's a lot tougher league, so there is no easy games. But when you've got to visit South Shields and FC United in your first four games, we knew they'd be tough games. And then Buxton and Basin at the end of last season as well. So, yeah, we're delighted, but that's all it is. It's just a start, and it's good to put the points on board, and hopefully we can move forward from here.
It seems to, because I was at the game on that Tuesday against FC United, and it seemed to me that something might have clicked during that game, because it was a bit of a siege, but you must have been delighted with the counter-attacking and the way your team defended. And you kind of took that on into the Bank Holiday weekend as well.
Yeah, I mean, first half against FC, I thought our counter-attacking was very good. The second half, we were under pressure. We can't play like that every game. We were under pressure for pretty much the whole of the second half, and we were fortunate to come out with the win by the end of it. And we try to explain that to the lads that we dropped a little bit deep, a little bit too early, and it stood us in good stead then going to South Shields, because it's from that game the lads had learned. We didn't drop too deep too early, and our counter-attacking opportunities come later in that game. We knew we were going to be under the cosh in both games, but the lads stuck to the game plan. And then against Buxton, it was a little bit different in terms of we had a bit more of the ball, and it was probably our best performance first half and got us the lead at half-time.
Now, obviously, there's been a bit of transition behind the scenes at Hyde United with yourself coming in as the manager and Darren moving upstairs. How has that transition been for yourselves?
It's been good. We just need a bit more structure at the football club. I mean, the CEO passed away, unfortunately, at the end of last season. And during the summer, we were informed that the playing budget was going to be cut. So we had to find a way off the pitch to improve the football club. So with the new structure, it allows us all to spend a little bit more time on off the pitch issues as well as on the pitch. So trying to get the football club back to where they are financially. It's going to take a little bit of time, but day by day, month by month, we're getting there. It's been a hard 3 months in terms of the amount of work that we've had to put in, but slowly but surely, hopefully, we can reap the rewards of that. But we can't take anything for granted on or off the pitch at any point. We've just got to keep working hard every day.
I mean, already coming through, there's some good young players there at Hyde United. So that must bode well for the future, as well as the little additions that you're making as well here and there.
Yeah, it does. Again, the only problem is the CEO was head of the academy as well. So we're currently, again, working hard off the pitch to set up something else that can come onto the pitch during the week. These are all problems we're having to deal with off the pitch while still trying to get results on it. So there's a lot of work to be done, but it's a fantastic football club. And if we can get the best out of the resources that we've got, especially with the 3D pitch, we can create a football club that can compete in this league and possibly the league above. You've got Paddy Lane, who's come through the academy originally, and there's quite a lot of clubs looking at him. So we have got some good young players, and we've done our recruitment well, where we've got young players who are hungry, who want to get into the professional game, and hopefully that can take us a long way.
And a highlight for me as well, one of the players I need to talk about is Liam Tong. He's been pretty good, hasn't he, the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, he's been immense. I mean, you look at the key moments in all of the games, he seems to be involved in them, whether it's clearing balls off the line, scoring winning goals. He's been a big part of the set pieces at both ends. And what you don't see, he's a massive influence in the dressing room. I mean, I haven't really known a spirit like it in terms of a dressing room within 3 weeks of the season, the way they all get on. But he's a big part of driving that. Everyone who comes into football clubs made to feel welcome, and he gets players out of the shells straight away. So on and off the pitch, he's been brilliant.
I seriously don't know how he cleared that ball off the line last Tuesday. It's still remarkable, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't see it happen during the game. I just seen the ball come up, but when you seen the replay, yeah, it was unbelievable.
Amazing. Well, two games for you for Hyde United this weekend. On Tuesday, it's Witten Albion away, which is going to be a tough game. But a tough game this weekend as well, back at Ewenfield, with Stafford Rangers coming to town. What's the squad looking like for this game, and the mood in the camp?
Squad's good. I mean, injury-wise, we've got a couple of players back, so we're just one player out at the moment, which is Martin Wolford. Oh, sorry, unfortunately, the goalkeeper, James Hodges, has broke his wrist. He's going to be out for a few months. The mood's fantastic. I've told the lads to enjoy winning games of football, but we want to carry it on. And when you look at the fixtures coming up again, they're all tough games. And if we aren't on our game, we won't get a result. We know that we've got to be on our game in every single time we come up against anyone, whether above us or below in the league, because so we've got a young squad who will give everything, and where we do lack quality at times, we've got to make sure we're giving everything on the pitch on the other side of it to be able to get the result.
And enjoying the role, we should say?
Oh, loving it, yeah, loving it. It's something that I've always wanted to do. I've had a great apprenticeship under Darren the last 3 years. He knew I wanted to do this, and he was keen to do the director of football role. So it's fitting well to both have these roles at the football club for the current time and for our careers going forward.
David McGurk there, manager of Hyde United, joining us here on the NPL show this week. So Hyde United up to third position. And just a reminder, late in the show, we'll be having a fixture preview with Yorkshire Non-League reporter Thomas Feeney, who'll be guiding us through the matches for this weekend in the Premier Division. But sticking with Monday's results now, South Shields drew 0-0 with Scarborough Athletics. That makes it 4 points from a possible six over the bank holiday weekend for Scarborough up to 13th position in the league table. In fifth position, though, we've got a mover. That's Warrington Town. They beat Bamborough Bridge on Monday by 3-1. So it seems like a good time to welcome back to the show the manager at Warrington Town. Here's Paul Carden.
Well, it's actually mirrors exactly what we did last season. Start with a poor result and then we've picked it up and we've been better, which is where we need to be. We've got a couple of new faces in, but not too many. But like you say, we started to find our feet a little bit.
And how obviously we know about last season. I don't want to dwell on it too much, but a bit of a travesty, really, that Warrington, that you're actually talking to me on this show. You should be talking to Luke on the NL Full Time Show. But when it comes to bouncing back from last season, how important was that to just put it behind you and move on?
Yeah, well, there's nothing we could do about it. It's gone. It's happened. It's disappointing. It's still, you know, you think about it and it's still, you know, sore. But like I say, there's nothing you can do about it. The only thing you can do is try and hit the ground running this season and just gather your momentum and get going like we know we can. The league's tough. It's a tough league. It seems to be even tougher this season with clubs doing different things to improve themselves, which is good. You know, but I'd like to think we're one of the reasons why it's a tough division. You know, with the players we've got, how we play, and you know, we've got to make sure that we are, and we're not just still licking our wounds. And you know, I don't think we've got that type of group to be sort of feeling sorry for themselves. You know, as proven with you know, a couple of the games already this season, we've shown what we're about.
Let's talk about some of the players you've got then. How's recruitment been over the close season? And how much chopping and changing do you feel you've had to do or not do?
Well, we haven't had to do a lot. Obviously, we lost a few players. Alex Whittle went to Boston, so you can't knock that because he stepped up a division. Robbie Evans done the same. He went to Curzon. Adam Hughes left and went to TNS, who offered them full-time football and obviously the lure of playing full-time and being in Europe and things like that. And Russ Benjamin went to Southport full-time. So the players that we lost, you know, have stepped up a level. We've brought in Stephen Jennings, Scott Sefton, Louis Barnes, Matthew Chadwick. So we've brought in more than capable players to fit in with what we've got. We've brought in Alex Byrne as well. So we've brought in real quality. It's important that, you know, obviously you bring in quality and it doesn't sometimes click overnight. And we've got to work on things, which we have been, and working on the best ways to get the best out of everybody, new players, as you know, old players as well as new players. So, you know, the signs are promising. Alex Byrne's been outstanding. I think he's got 7 assists already. Matty Chadwick scored a couple of goals. So, you know, they've certainly started to find a feat within the group. And, you know, hopefully the more they play together, the better they become. And, you know, if they become better, them two, certainly, then we've got a real threat going forward with them two. And Geno, loads of experience. Scott Sefton, good experience at the level. You know, went and played for Ashton last season in the league above. So, you know, knows the level well through playing for Buxton. And Louis Barnes, who had a good season for Nantwich. We obviously needed that left-back position filling, and he's come in and shown real quality. But he was in Nugget last Monday for getting sent off. So it means he'll actually miss the Nantwich game Tuesday. So it wasn't best pleased with that.
Well, like you touched upon there, going through that list of players, there's players there who even the average MPL follower will recognise. So it's a very capable squad you've created, Paul. But we saw that, didn't we, in the results this past week? I mean, going 3-0 up at half time at Atherton Colls last Tuesday, a good 0-0. So it's showing, you know, a goal scoring threat, but a good defensive qualities as well on Saturday at Gainsborough, and you know, beating Bamber Bridge as well. It's been a good start, but what I mean, you touched upon it about the actual competition more generally. So, what do you make of the competition this year? I mean, we said last week, I think you can make a case of 15 sides making the playoffs this season.
Yeah, you could. You know, people have always not disregarded Matt Loch, I suppose, but always sort of never looked at them as one of the teams that should be in the running. But they've started really well. You know, so there's clubs that have realise that to compete in the level, they maybe need to recruit more, and by recruiting more, they need to spend a bit more. And I think there's a few clubs looked at that and done that. Obviously, South Shields have gone a level above everybody by sort of taking up a, you know, this hybrid system that people talk about. You know, so they're basically training full time, four sessions a week, which is, you know, fair play to them for giving it a go at this level. But I think you're going to see that filtering through the league more and more. You know, there's clubs who are developing the grounds. There's clubs who are, you know, really going for it, and that can only make the division better. It can only make the standard of football better, and you know, the games better for the spectators. Because I think you're seeing gates increasing, and you know, it's all good. It's all good for the level. It's all good for football, and you know, hopefully we're one of them teams at the top, like you're saying. You know, in and about the playoffs, challenging and being one of the front runners in the division.
And obviously, when it comes to this weekend's matches, you've got two contrasting matches, really, Nantwich on Tuesday, and they've started like they started last season in a lot of ways. But you've got Michelover Sports this weekend, and John McGrath's recruited quite cannily, I think, in regards to the experience in that squad. So what do you make of the two games coming up?
Well, I know Macca really well. Played against them enough in our careers and missed the chance to play in midfield together. You know, we were both in talks to go to Wrexham, and I left Burton, and he went to Burton, and that type of thing. And so, but we know each other really well and speak to him quite a bit. I know the type of lad he is, and I know the type of player he likes to sign. And they'll be more than competitive, because they always are, their games, and we've had tough games against them in the last couple of seasons, and I expect nothing less. I think he's just signed Lee Hughes as well, who, you know, 42, 43, whatever he is, he's still going, he still knows where the back of the goal is. They've got Pablo at the back, but in between those two big experienced players, you know, like you say, he always has good young lads. You know, he always moves players on to higher divisions, and, you know, I know he coaches them to play football, so I expect nothing other than another tough game in the division, and certainly with knowing Macca as well as I do, then, you know, I know he'll be looking to try and get one over on us.
I mean, you've already said it, really, but just your final thoughts, really, about the season ahead. I think it would be an understatement to say you've got the bit between your teeth as a football club and really want to drive the thing home this season.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, we've progressed every season. The first season it came in the October, we put a good run together. We didn't quite make the playoffs, but we knew what we had to do. We did that. We had a full build, and then unfortunately the second season we got to the playoffs, but missed out, you know, lost in the playoff semis. And then obviously last season we win the playoff final, but it's one of those freak seasons where you know there's a rule in it where you win it and don't go up. So we made history in that sense. But the way we've gone about what we're doing this summer has been different, because we haven't had to recruit loads, and that's been a bonus. The squad is well settled, you know, and there's a lot of clubs in the division who are quite similar, but there's also a lot of clubs who've signed a lot of players as well. So we want to make sure that the bonus for us was keeping the bulk of the squad. Your Garrity's, your Dunn's, your Tony Gray's, Josh Ames's, Mark Roberts, Dave Davis, them type of players, and making sure that that's a big advantage to us, because, you know, we know one another, we know each other's players, and we know our strengths and weaknesses. And I always say to the lads, you know, you're here because of your strengths, so play to them. Don't change how you play, because you're good players when you play to what you've got, and we know we're a force when you do that.
Paul Carden there, manager of Warrington Town. Warrington Town complete the top five following that victory over Bamber Bridge on Monday. Just outside the playoffs, after three games, we've got Grantham Town. Grantham Town beat Basford by 1-0. And on Friday, I caught up with one of the joint managers at the Southgate Stephen Stadium for his take on how the season has started at Grantham Town. Here's Russell Cousins.
We had a lot of games pre-season, which has helped get the lads together. We did most of the deals early doors as well, so that had all lads together from the start of pre-season, which was good, which helped. We like to use the word togetherness. That was a big thing this year. Last year we used over 50 odd players, as you know, so to get them in early doors, to get the togetherness, play lots of games together, we think it's helped. And we've picked you know, an FA Cup win, which could have been a potential banana skint. We've got 7 points out of nine, so it's got to start.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to ask you about the benefits of having a good run-up at it. Obviously, Grantham Town season last year was very up and down and very coming and going and all that. But this time round, a bit of stability. And that's key, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah. You've used a good word there, stability. That's what we've said before. It was up and down last year, using that many players. I mean, three different sets of managers. It's never good for any club. So it's very important this year. We work really hard behind the scenes to get the right infrastructure, the right players in the door as well. It can be a great player, but they've got to have the right attitude to play as well. And just basically, you know, get a good settled side. You know, there's no point having, like, six, I keep stressing, that many players and keep going round the roundabouts of different, you know, different sides and everything else. It's, you know, a good settled side is what we've had even right from, you know, the start of pre-season.
And I saw you firsthand for the FC United match at the start of the season, and you touched upon it already about the togetherness side of things, you know, digging deep and getting that victory. You're winning your home games, you're drawing away from home with that draw against Stafford Rangers. That good vibe is clearly there at the South Stephen Stadium.
Hopefully. It's a good start. There's a long way to go, as we know. But being absolutely realistic, we should have took 9 from 9, really. We dropped 2 points at Stafford. We had a poor first half. Second half, we got into it. 10 minutes longer, we would have, you know, we were knocking on the door for quite a while, but it just came too late. So we saw that as a bit of a, you know, learning curve together. But yeah, you're right. You know, the first game of the season, FC United and Manchester, was a big game for us. There's a huge crowd. And the boys stepped up for it, as they did against Basel on Monday as well. So, yeah, there's some good sides in there, and we know that we've got to compete.
And obviously, we could touch upon the recruitment as well. I mean, one of the players who's already, I know, has got a great ability and he's a cracking performer is Danny Rackett. And we saw that on that Saturday against FC United. He's quite a player to have in your squad.
Yeah, he's good. He's good around the dressing room as well. He's been a leader for a while. So, which is, you know, that's brilliant for us. But you also look around the squad, you've got players like Rob Atkinson, who, you know, he's been in League Two for a while, he's won championship, you know, he's got a good pedigree. Craig Westcott, Greg Smith, you know, that I could name all through. They've got, you know, they've all had experience at non-league and higher, which, when they've played together as well, some of them, so they've all come back together again, and sometimes it's a pleasure to watch.
And the other thing as well is, obviously, a few people might think that Grantham Town, especially at the South Castiva Stadium, are going to be, you know, big and difficult to beat. But there's a lot of flair, isn't there, and a lot of pace down the wings that I noticed too. So you could shift through the gears quite effectively.
Yeah, we've had a few, you know, teams that say they're big, they're strong, they're direct. We can, like you just said, you know, we can mix it, which is a benefit for us because, you know, you don't have to play the same formation. You can change. The players adapt to that as well. They're all experienced, so that, you know, that they all know the key roles, and it helps with any side that, you know, if after half an hour it's not working, you know, you've got the pedigree there to change it.
And coming up, we've got two big games as well. I know it's hashtag early days and all that, but yeah, Grantham have got Whitby Town this weekend, and then Cup. At time of recording, unbeaten Matlock Town as well. So, you know, it's been a great start to the season. Where could Grantham Town go to next?
Let's hope it carries on, first and foremost. But you look at, you know, the start we've had has been very tough. But you could also add the next three, Whitby on Saturday, Matlock on Tuesday, followed by Nantwich in the FA Cup the following week. You know, all three could undo us from a great start of the season. So it's definitely, you know, we've got to compete straight away. We know that all three are tough, but I don't know any team that's in this league that isn't, so it's a very tough league. But like I say, we just, you know, we're going to give it a good go in every game, try and get maximum points, you know, to as many games as you can. And like you said, if you can win the home games, pick points away, you know, it's, you're not going to be far off. But we said to them at the very start, it's very crucial, even though it's at the start of the season, to stay within that playoff mix. That's where you put the pressure on everybody else. The minute you start slipping down that table, it's very hard to catch, you know, to catch back up good teams. So that's our aim, somewhere around about there. Let's see where we go from there.
Russell Cousins there, joint manager at Grantham Town. Grantham Town 1, Basford United 0. Next up for Grantham will be that match this weekend against Whitby Town. And speaking of Whitby Town, they're currently sitting in 7th position after the opening week of the season. Whitby Town 2, Morpeth Town 1 was the full-time score in the North East Derby. And on Friday, I caught up with the manager at Whitby Town. Here's Chris Hardy.
Yeah, the mood's quite buoyant. Obviously, the results have been good. We would certainly have taken 7 points from 4 games, you know, at the start of the season. So, as I say, the camp's in good spirit. Obviously, we're focusing on Grantham Saturday and just trying to keep this run of form going.
When it comes to pre-season, obviously we've asked a few managers this question, but it's a good question for Whitby Town because you were building something last year. Have you added to that this over pre-season, do you feel?
Yeah, we certainly have. I mean, I think part of the continuous development of a football side, I think if you speak with any manager, is about making changes and trying to make improvements. You know, maybe he's moving certain players on and bringing in new players, and we've had our fair share of that this summer. You know, I think for different reasons, maybe players need different challenges and come out with the group, and then obviously looking to try and bring in, you know, players that are going to improve the group is equally as important as that.
And obviously, I mean, beating Morpeth Town and Buxton is a clear indication, I think, of where Whitby are in these early stages, because, you know, they're going to be up there, aren't they?
I hope so. I think that, you know, one thing that needs to be said is that I'm very familiar with the league and I know what the league's makeup is. And unless, you know, you are week in, week out on it, you know, making sure that you're delivering performance levels, then it can be a long season. It's a very, very competitive league. And to date, we have been on it. We have been very, very competitive. And we said that with the guys before the season started. You know, if we can't be brilliant, then we'll be competitive. There's been moments where we've been good. But I think on the whole, it's been competitive and it's allowed us to get, you know, some good results.
And hopefully for yourselves, you'll have some good results this weekend. But there's some big matches coming up, isn't there? I mean, Grantham away firstly. Grantham have started really, really well this season. And I think it's a given that home form is going to be a big part of their season. So this is a tough game for Whitby.
It is. And I think, again, any manager at this level that has played at Grantham will tell you that it's not an easy place to go. And that's certainly my sentiments on that. So we will prep. We'll ensure that, like you say, that we go into it with the right frame of mind. We've got a number of injuries to contend with, but I suppose that's very similar for most clubs, given the volume of games that we're playing at the moment. But like you say, come Saturday, we'll be focused, prepped and ready to go.
Now, when it comes to derbies, I mean, this is a private joke I'm having with Andrew Snaith, to be fair, but Morpeth against Whitby possibly isn't a derby. I mean, it's 100 miles, isn't it? But this on Tuesday night, you've got Scarborough coming to town, and that's really Whitby's first proper derby in a lot of ways that they've ever had. And I mean, it's become quite seismic, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the second year in the making now. And again, you know, the games that we experienced last season on 3 occasions were excellent. You know, the fans get behind the game. The rivalry's very apparent. The two teams, I think, are fairly evenly matched. So it makes, you know, for a really interesting game of football.
When it comes to beyond that, Chris, I mean, it sounds like you're optimistic for the season to come, but what should Whitby Town fans be hoping for this season?
Internally, you know, the lads they're ambitious, they want to do well. And I think externally, as long as we're improving on last season, then that has to be seen to be, you know, progression. That has to be seen to be, you know, a reasonable season. We've obviously marked the FA competitions to try and get a little bit more involvement in that, which would be good. So I think from our point of view, we're each game as it comes, and hopefully, you know, we can try and make visible improvements on last year.
And looking forward to it. this season?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think the group's as good and as together as I've seen it in my time at Whitby. I do have reservations about the size of the group, but again, these are the restraints, the scenarios that we dealt with, and you've got to deal with that. So, like you say, from an overview, you know, it's quite positive from my point of view.
Chris Hardy there, manager of Whitby Town, speaking to us here on the NPL show. In a second, we'll be having a fixture preview for this weekend's matches, but just to run through some of the other scores from Bank Holiday Monday, Ashton United 0, Stalybridge Celtic 2. Ashton United moving to the bottom of the table following Monday's results. Stalybridge Celtic there with their second win of the season, moving up to 8th. In the league. Michelova Sports have also had a good start to the season. They picked up their second win of the campaign. They beat Stafford Rangers by 1-0. Stafford Rangers just dropping into the relegation places. But as we keep saying on these early shows, it is early days. And one last result from Monday, Lancaster City 1, Atherton Coles 0. Lancaster City there with their second win of the season. But it is early days, as we keep saying on the show, but it's not too early to welcome back Thomas Feeney, non-league reporter from Yorkshire, for this week's fixture preview.
Yeah, it's been very interesting indeed, hasn't it? And I think, you know, you look at that bottom of the table, I've got to be honest with you, Ashton United, it really has surprised me. I thought with the squad that they've put together that they'd have made a bit of a stronger start. But then, you know, you look near the top of the table, I suppose the usual suspects of South Shields and Warrington have impressed so far. So it'll be very interesting to just see how it all goes. But yeah, I mean, again, I think every year the Northern Premier League, you would, in a word, you'd call it very competitive. And once again, you would call it competitive because, you know, again, it's going to be a case of, I think we'll be going down to about April and we'll still not be 100% sure who's actually going to win the thing. So we'll see what happens with it all.
Of course, we all know it'll be FC United. But when it comes to that bottom end of the table, speaking of FC United, I mean, up until, probably about Bank Holiday Monday's matches, FC United and Ashton were in the relegation places. So, again, that similar story about teams dropping out of Step 2 into the NPL and struggling. And for Ashton United, the team you started off with, Ashton United this weekend taking on Matlock Town. And obviously, you know, Yorkshire connections and all that. Steve Kittrick at Matlock doing a cracking job at Matlock for this four games into the season. Ashton United have to click, don't they, at some point, though?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, just speaking about Matlock and the job Steve Kittrick's done already, I know it's only four games in, but what he has done is he's been able to build a squad of players that some that he knows already, some that he's been getting to know. And, you know, I think a player like Jack Raya, they got him in. He was at Guiseley a few years ago and he really was one of these players that he got an injury. He was a bit unlucky with that. And, he, you know, he's a quality player. And I think also, just to bring the Guiseley aspect into it, they brought Scott Smith on loan for a month. And I think he's been making a real impression there. And yeah, it's an interesting one because Steve Kittrick, obviously, is a manager I really rate. And I think the job he's done at Matlock is, so far, you know, you can't complain, can you? Four games, four wins. And I think the last victory, the way they won that game in the last minute, you know, effectively last kick of the game, that has to give them a lot of confidence. But they're going up against the team in Ashton United who, again, on paper, you know, they've got one of the strongest squads in the division. You look at, you know, they've got the likes of Josh Wilson, who last season, a league above, was playing a massive part in Chorley gaining promotion. So it's going to be a really tough game to call this, and it's whether or not it can click for Ashton United. You know, they've got Dom Smalley coming back soon, and it's little things like that. Is that the missing piece of the jigsaw that's going to see them get going? But it's going to be a really interesting game, this. And I know it's only a few games in, but, you know, to be top v bottom so early on, we'll just see what happens.
And I'm looking for, obviously, it's hashtag early days and all that. So I was looking for those standout games. That's obviously a standout game, top versus bottom, and Ashton United in a surprising position in the league. So one of the games of the day. I'm going to suggest, actually, game of the day is possibly happening at the South Kesteven Stadium. Grantham Town against Whitby Town. We've obviously had Russ Cousins on and Chris Hardy on the show this week as well. But Grantham have started brilliantly. Whitby have started brilliantly.
Yeah, and I mean, it's you know, it's one of those where obviously Grantham already were in that position where they've got a game in hand on Whitby. But I think what you're looking at here is two teams who must be looking and thinking, do you know what, a good start, keep the momentum going a little bit and just see what happens, because there's always a team that does sneak into them playoff places. And we, you know, just talking about Whitby Town, when you've got a striker like Bradley Fewster, who, to me, he is a player, one of these players where you can't really work out how, no disrespect to Whitby, but how he hasn't been, you know, plucked by a team in the National League, North National League even, because, you know, he has such an impressive record. But it's fantastic work by Chris Hardy to not only get him into, but to be getting him firing already. And, you know, he scored 3 goals in a couple of games. And if that can continue, then you've got to say Whitby will be within a shout of getting a playoff place by the end of it, in my opinion.
On this week's show, I'm going to do something that FA Cup Fat File does on Twitter, and that finds very, strenuous links to matches. This is the Paul Phillips derby, the next one we're going to be talking about. Buxton against Stalybridge Celtic. I mean, Buxton haven't had the best of starts to the season. Stalybridge Celtic have really flown out the blocks. That 5-1 win last week wasn't bad at all, was it, against Scarborough? Buxton, a bit like Ashton United, really. They've been slow out the blocks.
Yeah, definitely slow. And I think, you know, 1 point out of 4 games, it's obviously after last season, it's exactly what they didn't think would happen, because, you know, the thing of a team getting relegated and, you know, you lose that momentum. But with Buxton, it's a team who, you know, were in a very good position last season, were unlucky for them not to be able to go up in the end, you know. And normally when that's the case, the team has that momentum, they keep going, you know, and they make a good start. But with Buxton, that's just not been the case. And then you look at Stalybridge, and really, to me, you've got to say, I know, again, only, you know, for some teams 2, for some teams 4 games into the season, but for me, your result of the season so far has to be what Stalybridge did against Scarborough, because they absolutely blew them out of the water. For how bad Scarborough were, Stalybridge were fantastic. And, you know, to beat a team like Scarborough Athletic 5-1, I mean, that shows you the quality within that Stalybridge dressing room. And also then, you know, to defeat Ashton United, it's 2 results which will have given Stalybridge a lot of confidence going into these next games.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's 3 teams currently who are unbeaten in this opening 3 or 4 games of the season. We've already covered off 2, Grantham Town and Matlock Town. The other team is another town, Nantwich Town. And this weekend, Nantwich will be travelling to Atherton Colls. If Atherton are going to compete this season, they're going to have to make their home there a bit of a fortress, not to use too many cliches.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the thing is with Atherton, again, this thing of a team that, you know, gaining promotion last season, their home form obviously was so important to that. And they've got this thing where if they can turn it into that bit of a fortress, you know, just pick up points here and there, you know, they should be fine. But I mean, it doesn't to me get much tougher than Nantwich, because you look at Nantwich's results so far this season in terms of, you know, gaining that momentum, beating Gainsborough in your first game. That was always to me going to be a massive game for both them teams, because it was, you know, a real, I suppose, a marker for how your season's going to go if you were able to gain that win and then going to Buxton a few days later and winning. So, and, you know, obviously beat Witten as well at home on Bank Holiday Monday. So I think for Nantwich, obviously, again, it's another team who last season was so near yet so far in them playoff places. And, you know, if they can keep it going, then, you know, they've got a great chance of doing something special this season.
3 other teams in the playoff positions, and we'll cover them off now in numerical order. Hyde United currently sitting in 3rd position. They're hosting Stafford Rangers, and it's been a steady start for Stafford Rangers. 3 defeats, though, and on only 1 draw. Not the best of starts for Stafford. But Hyde United, I mean, we covered it off earlier when we were speaking to James and Swampy at Radcliffe. Something clicked in the FC United win last Tuesday. And they've taken it into last week, the bank holiday weekend. Stafford Rangers, this is going to be a tough game for them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the thing for Hyde is, you know, you've got to give them a lot of credit. In the summer, they announced this kind of this big managerial change where they'd, you know, Darren Kelly was moved up to another role and made the changes, really. And they brought a squad together where you could see a lot of potential. And I think it's that whole thing of it's clicked, you know, very quickly. As you said, I watched the highlights from that game against FC United, and I thought, you know, you had to say, you had to be really impressed with how Hyde played. And again, it's that thing, I know we're really early into the season, but it must give you such a boost to be, you know, early into the season, but to be putting in good performances and getting the results so early on. And again, I think Hyde are one of these teams where it would not shock me. I think I'm going to say half the teams are going to be in the playoffs by the end of it, but they're another team where I definitely think they'll be knocking on the door for a playoff place by the end of it, because they've not only recruited well on the pitch, but off the pitch, they've made changes and basically getting in a structure in place where you can really see progression being made.
And obviously, Hyde United on Saturday beat South Shields away from home. South Shields then followed that up with a 0-0 draw against Scarborough. South Shields in the playoffs after four games. Hashtag early days, we know. But South Shields hosting Bamber Bridge this weekend. South Shields, I'm not saying they need a win or anything like that, but a win would be nice. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, definitely. I think you know, the Hyde United game, in fairness to them, you know, they had a load of injuries and Jason Gilchrist wasn't available as well. So, you know, it was kind of one of those games where, you know, they were putting players, very much having to test the depth of their squad so early into the season. That very rarely happens. But I think on paper with South Shields, especially, you know, you talk about a striker like Jason Gilchrist, if they can get that starting 11 fit and firing, you know, they've definitely got, well, definitely one of the best squads. You could very easily argue they've got the best starting 11 in the division when they're all together. So I think for South Shields, it is just a case of no need to panic. As you said, look, it's four games in and they're in the playoff places. It's not a bad place to be, but for the potential and the ability within that squad, you know, they know that they can't be dropping too many points because their eyes have to be on top spot by the end of it.
I mean, we could be looking at one of those seasons where, you know, you've got a high number of games lost. It could get to that quite easily, like last season. Warrington Town finish off the playoff positions at the moment. They're hosting Michelover Sports. This is a tricky game, this, because Michelover Sports recruited quite cannily over the close season. A lot of experience in that John McGrath squad. So this is a tough game, this one, for Paul Carden's side.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, with Michelover, obviously gaining that win against Stafford Rangers a couple of days ago, I think, you know, one of the players they've got is Mason Warren, who actually scored the winner against Stafford. And I suppose you'd argue he's probably one of the younger players in the group, but what he is, he's a player I've watched quite a few times, and he's a real quality acquisition. And then with the other players as well, like you said, those experienced heads, it's actually quite a nice mix of players that they've been able to get together. Well, for Warrington, it's that whole thing of last season to be, you know, ridiculously close to going up, you know, to actually win your playoff final and then to have to go into a super playoff final, you know. For Warrington, to me, that has to be seen as a real, I suppose, real motivation for them, really, for them to go up, because, you know, they know last season they effectively got the job done. If they do it again this season, they will be going up. So, you know, just the case, if they can use that motivation really positively, you know, again, another team that I think will definitely be there or thereabouts by the end of it.
Another team who might be, I can't say this, but some pundits have suggested will be there or thereabouts is Basford United. Basford this weekend hosting Radcliffe. Radcliffe there with their first point of the season. Admittedly, though, Radcliffe have only played two games, so they're a bit behind everyone else. But Basford United, steady as she goes, really, the start that they've made. Although the defeats at Grantham might have set things back a bit following that 4-1 win over Lancaster on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's that thing of really good win against Lancaster and then, you know, concede early in the second half against Grantham and then just not being able to get the equaliser. You wonder, you know, will that have any impact on the group? I mean, it is a tough place to go to Grantham this season, definitely. So I think for Basford, they won't, you know, not be too disheartened with that. But you look at Radcliffe and, you know, sign someone like Anton Forrester, who, look at the calibre of clubs that he's played for. It's going to be, you know, it's another tough game and it's going to be another one that you'd say is going to be really difficult to call, because for Radcliffe, this is a team who, with the players that they've been able to get, you know, they could be seen as one of the outsiders, you know, to really do something a bit special this season. So it's another game where, you know, you're looking at it on paper and thinking it really could go either way.
One game that won't be going either way is taking place at Broadhurst Park on Saturday. FC United against Morpeth Town. FC United, we're on it now. A draw on Bank Holiday Monday against Radcliffe. Morpeth have had a good start to the season, obviously, but that defeat on Monday, though, against Whitby Town, has put them back slightly, but a bit like Radcliffe, they've only played three games this season, so a bit behind everyone else. But FC United, fourth bottom heading into this game.
Yeah, and I mean, I've got to be honest, I'm not just saying this for your benefit. I'm really shocked that they've not, you know, they are currently fourth bottom, you know, because again, it's that thing of a lot of the recruitment was done early, and it was, you know, very much a lot of the squad was able to get a full pre-season. I think, you know, with Reynolds, they've got this manager who, you know, gained a lot of plaudits for what he did in his previous roles. And I think last season, you know, I think even you'd admit it was kind of just one of these tasks of just getting the squad ready really for this season when he got in because of, you know, the amount of work that had to be done. But fourth bottom right now, so early in the season, you know, three or four wins and all of a sudden you're in the playoff places. So it's not panic stations yet. But I do think Morpeth, you know, it's having that momentum from the previous campaign. I saw them a few times last season and they really did impress me every time because of the way that they attacked. They weren't a team that would go anywhere, you know, and I suppose put players back. They really would go for it. They'd be very gung-ho with their style. So it'll be a very interesting game, this. And, I've got to say, I do think Morpeth will get something from it. And I don't want you to cut the call off now I've said that.
Never darken my door again, Thomas. Anyway, right. just before you go, just a couple of other matches. Gainsborough Trinity against Lancaster City. At time of recording, it's a mid-table ding-dong. Hashtag early days, we know. But Gainsborough, has it been the start they were expecting? I'm not sure. But Lancaster have pretty much started the way they ended last season.
Yeah, I think, for Gainsborough, the reality of it is they've lost two games thanks to conceding really, really, really late goals. And, you know, the game against Matlock, they conceded effectively with the last kick of the game. So, you know, on another occasion, they'd have an extra 2 points and they'd be a little bit higher up in the table. So, again, I think for Gainsborough, the squad that they've been able to put together, you know, Liam King's been able to get some real quality in the likes of Kingsley James, and they've got, you know, they've got a really good squad on paper. And, you know, you've got to say they've got to be pushing up and aiming for a little bit higher than, you know, last season when they missed out. But, again, I think for Lancaster, the work that was done last season, you know, they made the change, they made, you know, some changes off the pitch and changes on it as well. And I think for Lancaster, you know, so far, two wins, two losses, you know, their home form is really going to be crucial. You know, the way they play at the Giant Axe, it's going to be absolutely crucial for them. And if they can keep that going, they'll have a chance of having an okay season.
And finally, just to show the fall from grace that Yorkshire has taken when it comes to the NPL Premier Division, apart from Whitby Town, there's only Scarborough that are actually Yorkshire clubs in the division this year. I've not missed anyone, have I? That is true. Yeah, that's it. Just Scarborough.
Yeah, no, that is.
Yeah. Scarborough Athletic against Witton Albion this weekend. John Deasy, I think, will be satisfied with the weekend Scarborough have just had.
Yeah, definitely, you know, getting that win against FC United and Manchester, I've just got to repeat that did happen, you know.
Yeah, I think
for Scarborough, I think for Scarborough, if you you looked at the results right now, you know, being on 5 points from four games wouldn't be the end of the world, but I think that game against Stalybridge, it was then the reaction that they've had after it, you know, because the game against Stalybridge for them was absolutely horrible. You know, they never got going. Stalybridge took full advantage of it. But then for them to be picking up points, you know, against FC United and then to be gaining, you know, a 0-0 draw against South Shields, there won't be too many teams that take points off South Shields. So I think for Scarborough, you know, 4 points from them two games, that definitely is the marker for John Deasy's side, because, you know, they've played two good teams, they've gained results against them both, and now it's all about trying to build from that and move forward with it.
And obviously Witten will be looking to bounce back from that 3-0 defeat at the weekend against Nantwich Town. Sorry to Simo for bringing that up. Thomas, just before you go, just a quick plug for your work. You don't just do Scarborough, obviously, and the other Yorkshire clubs, but all the Yorkshire clubs. So how can people keep abreast of all your non-league reporting over the next 7 days or so?
Well, if you want me to bore you to death, you can go on my Twitter. That's at Thomasina, and I do apologise because it is very Yorkshire heavy and very Yorkshire biased. But do you know what? That's the best way.
Yorkshire non-league reporter Thomas Feeney there speaking to us here on the NPL show. And that's it for this week's NPL show. A big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. Also, a special thanks to the hospitality from Radcliffe FC on Bank Holiday Monday. Remember, you can follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And we'll be back next week with our monthly discussion show for the month of August. Yes, we're up and running now. So look out for that one next Friday. And we'll also have the NPL Step 4 show as well coming your way next Friday too. But I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.